Gen X ladies, have you ever stopped, took a breather, and thought, hey, is this it? I mean, is this all? Then life hits you with menopause and midlife crisis. Well, that's what happened to me. But ladies, it's not game over. Oh no. We've got to get up and claim our space and fight back. My name's Simona, and come join me as I document my life journey, discover midlife solutions one step at a time. I will present various ways to improve our lives and increase our self-care. I will interview inspiring people, share with you the best kept secrets to a successful and meaningful life. So let's get rocking. Couch to Fire will inspire you to get unstuck and venture out of your comfort zone and ignite your fire within. Couch to Fire. Get your life back. Hi, this is Simona, and I have my friend Tara Logsdon here. And she is a good friend of mine, and she's one of the ladies that have taught me how to meditate and encouraged me to meditate. And that is such a game changer for me because it just opened up my mind and just helped me deal with things. And I wanted everybody to join me in welcoming Tara Logsdon. Tara, sorry. Hi.
It's okay. Hi.
She has been a meditator for how long?
It's almost 20 years.
20 years. Wow. That's great. And I'm only like a baby because I've done it maybe less than a year or maybe a year.
That's okay. Some people are just more advanced to begin with anyway. They just connect easier. So okay. It's really irrelevant how long you've been doing it.
Okay, great. Well, she's here and I asked her to come to join me and to just talk about meditation and how everybody has their own way of doing things. So Tara, why don't I give you the mic and tell us a little bit about meditation and why you have done it for so long.
Okay, sure. Thank you for having me. I've been meditating for a really long time. The reason I started meditating is because I was having really acute anxiety attacks. And I was definitely a victim of overthinking. Mm-hmm. I was a single mother who worked in a very high pressure design computer job. And I was constantly driving around in my car. So my whole entire life was very mental. And I mm-hmm. wasn't getting a good balance. And so I would kind of overload myself and get these anxiety attacks. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And inadvertently, the universe kept sending me signs to meditate. There were many of them. And of course, I ignored them. So I finally got into a really hellacious car accident with a woman where we got T-boned. And I got stuck in the car. And for someone who has anxiety, to be trapped in a car is like the extreme, like breaking point of your anxiety. And she just reached over and grabbed my hand and said, "You're going to learn how to meditate right now." And that's literally the first time I ever learned to meditate was when I was stuck in a car while they were getting the jaws of life to get me out. So Lesson learned, if the universe is telling you to do something, you should probably listen, because if you don't, it will make you listen. So at that time, I studied a Buddhist type of meditation that was breathing oriented. It's called Visapana meditation. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was the perfect meditation for me because my main focus, my main goal was just to clear my mind. I could not get my mind to stop thinking or talking or I had a terrible time sleeping, all of those things. And so it really had you focus in on your breath and it made you instantly calm. And that was what I needed at the time. So it really helped me out. And I was like, wow, you know, this is like a magic solution that took very minimal effort on my part. And so I was sold on meditation right there.
Wow.
So I did that for a while in Seattle, and I went to some retreats and practiced that. And then when I moved to Arizona, my need for meditation kind of shifted. Mm-hmm. I was still using it to calm my mind, but I had a series of misfortunate events where I had my things stolen and I was trapped back at my mom's, and I needed something a little heavier to connect me. Like, I wanted to feel connected to this higher existence that I knew was happening all around me. I had a little bit of glimpse of it when I lived in Seattle, but it became way more important for me to seek that out. And so I literally just asked this guy. I literally went outside and I was like, okay, I just need you to show me where to meditate. I need a place to meditate. Like, I'm doing this on my own, but it's just not cutting it anymore. Like, I need to go deeper. Yeah. Which, you know, like in meditation, they call that seeking. So I went out and I just yelled it at the sky, which I often do, by the way. It's totally effective. I recommend it to everyone. And my son at the time was in high school and he started college classes and he could not drive. So the first night I drove him, this was 2 days after I yelled at the sky. The first night I drove him over to his college classes, we were detoured down a road and I passed the Sahaja Meditation Center that I'd never seen before. And I was like, okay, I guess that's where I'm supposed to go. So I started going there. And when I first went, I didn't understand anything. The man had a really thick Indian accent, but he had me put my hand in different places on my body and he activated my Kundalini for me. And I instantly could feel this vibratory thing going on inside of me that I had felt before, almost like when I was a very small child. And so instantly I knew this was connecting me to something, the thing I was wanting, right?
Right.
So I've been going there ever since, basically. And they've taken me in and they've, you know, they've given me many instruction. And even though I've been doing it for, I guess it's probably like 16 years now or so, maybe, I'm not sure exactly, but I still don't, I have barely cracked the surface on all of it as well. So it's really different for every single person, you know, like everyone's raised with conditioning. Like, I was raised Catholic, and so I was conditioned in a certain type of belief system.
Right.
It didn't necessarily work within my vibratory system. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to get rid of all of that stuff before this was going to work on me. But the most exciting part about this type of meditation that I feel is very effective for me is it works upon the vibratory system that is in every living thing.
Right.
And it activates your nervous system to be in accordance with that. So all of a sudden your body has become this instrument, and being this ultra sensitive person is actually a bonus and a positive and a gift, because you can feel everything and you kind of know what you're feeling now, and you can use that as a guide of, is this for me? Is this not for me? Is this right? Is this wrong? Or you can take those sensitivities and use them in a really useful way instead of it being a negative where, like, oh, I'm so sensitive, I'm getting hurt all the time, and
right.
things like that. So if people are just starting out wanting to meditate, whether it's to get peace of mind or to connect, I think you just, like, first of all, literally just go outside and ask. Like, just say to the universe, say it out loud, like, your voice, your thoughts, these are all, you're activating, you're manifesting vibration through your thought, through your voice, and you're putting that out into the world. And if you think about vibrations, they work very much like a pebble going into water. It's like you get the ripple out, but then if you sat and really watched that water, you would see that that ripple comes right back exactly where the stone was thrown in. If you put it out, eventually it's going to come back. So you need to put it out and you need to be open and ready for when it comes back to you so that you see it, right? And to do that, you have to start being ready. And that's the one thing, you know, a lot of people, they'll go to, like, oh, I went to this gong meditation last week and it felt really at peace when I was there. But then they go away from that and they get all bundled up again. Mm-hmm. And those gong meditations are amazing, sound baths, because it's all based upon vibration. But how do we hold that? How do we keep that always, right?
Right.
And that's the challenge for humans, especially people in America, because we're inundated with media and phones and, you know, all of it. We all know. And I think it's especially heightened right now. Mm-hmm. So, and we always have to form an opinion and we always have to say something and our brain is just going. And the number one mistake people make is they look to their intellect to be their guide and be their governing body. And actually, we need to govern our mind. We should not allow our mind to govern us. That is the number one switch over that will start making you feel more calm and in control and connected to nature, love, you know, all these beautiful things that are going on instead of being connected to the things that are making you crazy all the time, right?
So if you don't connect with your intellect, what would you say you connect with when you meditate?
Well, the thing is if you're seeking out like divinity, it can only be found by divinity itself.
Okay.
So you have to be willing to become an instrument for that divine to be able to manifest inside of you, right?
Okay.
You want to unite yourself with the higher thing. At least this is why I meditate, because mm-hmm. I want to connect to that higher plane, that higher existence. Because I don't do well in the lower existence. Like, I'm a mess. Let's just be honest. Like, it's a selfish reason. So your mind or your brain and your thinking, those are perishable items.
Okay.
They die. They go away, right? But there's a pervading energy within all living things that exists forever. It is imperishable, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to learn how to turn off that perishable energy so that the imperishable energy will come into our body. And the way you do that is by surrendering. You literally have to die from your own personality. You have to allow that individuality of I. You have to let that die away. It's completely insignificant, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then you allow this energy to come into you by surrendering, by forgiving, and by awakening your own personal Kundalini energy, which lives inside of you. And it is an exact replication, a carbon copy of the energy that is pervading through the entire universe. It's inside of you. And so you've been given this gift and it just sits in there because we're so caught up in our mind that we don't even realize we've got this beautiful seed just waiting to grow inside of us, right? So a lot of times you'll hear Christians talk about being born again, right?
Yes.
This is what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the difference of living in a world of feeling guilty and not forgiving and having these grudges and having all this darkness, or living in a world where you have literally forgiven everything and you've surrendered your entire existence over to this divine energy. And then you're born again and you live a completely different existence. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I can testify to that. And being raised Catholic and hearing Christians, people say being born again, I never understood what they meant, because I feel like they don't exactly explain how to get there. And that's mm-hmm. like, I have Asperger's, everything's very literal to me. So I was a nightmare at church growing up, because there's all these parables and things are metaphors, and I always wanted to know, well, how is this possible? You know, like, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't logical. Of course, everyone at church was just like, they didn't want to hear me or answer my questions. But through this center, all of my questions have been answered.
Yeah.
It's totally like the easiest thing, even though people think it's a hard thing to do. It's actually the easiest thing in the world to just be in accordance with nature. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We're an organism just like every other organism that's here. The only difference is we have self-awareness and we're conscious. We can make conscious decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of our downfall as humans, mm-hmm. because we get caught up in that part. Like most animals, most plants, they live, they survive. They are growing in accordance with nature the way they are supposed to. And they don't have the luxury of choice or the confusion of choice, right?
Right.
So when you kind of back up and think about like, what kind of life do I want? What do I want to be? Do I want to be a person who's always in my head and running around and getting caught up in that mm-hmm. type of energy? Or do I want to live in a higher existence and really be part of this whole beauty that is constantly happening all of the time around us and be more aware and like actually enjoy things? And so I make a conscious effort, and you have to, because like I said, human beings, we have to make conscious effort. That's our thing, that mm-hmm. we're consciously aware. And so I make a point to meditate every morning before I touch technology, before I answer calls, look at texts, because what you do when you wake up and what you do before you go to bed is creating a pattern of balance or imbalance all of the time. So just to back up, if you make this choice and you want to be in this meditative state more than not in the meditative state, you basically make this choice to surrender yourself over to it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to basically, you awaken your kundalini. And when you do that, it starts running through your chakras. Just like when I took you to the center.
Yeah.
And they help you awaken that. And it's very simple. It's just through affirmation. And there's a woman named Sri Mataji, and she was born knowing this. She was born self-realized, and she got messages of how to teach mankind this. And that's a whole other podcast. And I'd be happy to share any information. I have links and all kinds of things that I can give you to share for people who are more interested in this type of meditation.
Right.
But once you awaken your kundalini, it starts to rise up through your body, and it actually pierces your fontanelle bone, which is the soft spot when you're a baby. Like there's a reason you're born with a hole there, mm-hmm. and it is for this purpose. You're supposed to be connecting to the divine. But when you meditate a lot, you open this up and you make it a channel of activity. And when you do that, the divine energy then starts coming back down into you. And when it does that, it reaches down in this path and it starts showering the limbic area of your brain with vibration. And that starts running down your nervous system. And all of a sudden, you've become this instrument now, because your nerves are actually connected straight to the divine,
right?
Which is amazing. It's an amazing yeah. accomplishment, because every single person is capable of this. We all have this inside of our system. There's nothing special about me that I feel these things. You know, some people are born more sensitive than others. Some people have more conditioning than others they have to fight through. And sure, that's all true, but everyone has this capability inside. So once you're connected to this and you practice, you're basically setting yourself up to be in this state of what they call thoughtless awareness all of the time, where you are in a meditative state all day long and you aren't reacting to things on a mental level anymore. You're aware of it. I mean, I wake up and I meditate and my dogs are barking around me and they're being loud and I can hear this and hear that. And I know it's all going on, but my brain does not engage or react to it because I am connected to something different. And I'm almost witnessing that I'm having a thought. Instead of actually living and experiencing the thought, I'm now just aware that it's happening. And just being one removed from your thoughts like that gives you a totally different sense of inner peace and control that is kind of the anti-anxiety. So
And we definitely need that right now during this quarantine and just not in our regular routines.
Yes, because it already gives people anxiety, I think, when you have to deviate from what you're used to doing. And so you're kind of like confused, like, what do I do? And confusion clearly is something that affects people mentally. It does me. I don't do well with confusion at all. And the other part about it is cool. It's like, if you get really into it, like when I meditate, I leave my body. I'm not here. Mm-hmm. I leave. And when I come back from meditating, I actually open my eyes and kind of have to look around for a second and like look at my hands and be like, okay, I'm in this body. I'm still here in my house. I am going somewhere else. I am leaving. So
yeah. And that happens when they do savasana and yoga and they go, yes. Okay, like, touch, you know, start moving your fingers and your toes and just get back into yes. reality and get back into your body. So right. yes, we all know that. Well, most of us know that who've done yoga.
And, you can
know.
Feel it. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, once you experience that a few times, you sort of realize what a gift that is because mm-hmm. you can leave where you are without physically leaving where you are. Right.
Right. Right.
That's cool. I really enjoy that part a lot. But just to briefly touch on this, because okay. like I said, I could go on for hours, but I did pull up this, my little chart here to show the different channels that exist in our body. Mm-hmm. And we have a left channel, a right channel, and a center channel. Mm-hmm. And your left channel basically is your past and nostalgia and memories. And the right channel is future planning, thinking. And then the middle channel is the present. And if you look and see the way your Kundalini, if you activate it, it rises through the center channel through your chakras. And so mm-hmm. if you can activate this energy and allow this to rise, it really does help you stay in a state of being present and right here because it's so easy to become off balance. I know personally, I used to work so much on the computer and thinking and creating. And so that was just overworking my right channel. And then I would get done with a huge project and I would feel so depressed instead of feeling accomplished or excited. I would feel overwhelmed with sadness. And it's because if you exhaust one side of your body, your energy will naturally just shift way over to the other side because okay. it's trying to correct itself. It's trying mm-hmm. to balance, right? So if you get up every day and you raise your Kundalini and you balance yourself every day on your own, then you don't have those big swings of feeling depressed and you're like, why am I depressed? Or like right. these anxiety, and you're like, why am I having this anxiety? And it's really all your own internal energy is trying to balance itself all of the time. So if you can take control and balance it for yourself, you don't experience those huge swings. And that was huge for me because I could not understand why I was feeling depressed because I'm not really a sad person. Mm-hmm, and I was mm-hmm. feeling these big lows after I was doing these really, you know, intense creative things. So it didn't make sense to me. Like this should be a time of celebration, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good for me because I balance myself every day and I pay attention to the vibrations I feel on my hands because through your nervous system, you start getting little messages through your hands because that's where your nerves end.
You are amazing just because you're so far advanced and I'm kind of like, oh, I'm just at the basics of meditation. And it's just like good to hear all these things that I have to learn, you know. And one thing that you talk about that it really brings home is like, to connect to the universe and to connect to each other and to be this force field of goodness, you know, and it's just like, oh, that is so true. We all need that ray to raise your vibration and connect to each other.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool because when you start vibrating on a different level, if you just put in time And I know not everyone is going to be doing the type of meditation that I do, but if you literally, it's the intention of, I'm going to get up today, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be quiet and allow my brain to just kind of empty out, you know. And if you start having a bunch of thoughts, my advice is, what the yogis used to tell me is that you just pretend like it's like an airport. It's like the plane comes in and it lands and it flies away. But you don't try to stop the plane. You're like, don't land, don't land. No, you let it land and then you let it go away. You acknowledge the thought. You don't ever want to tell no.
Okay.
So if I start getting thoughts when I'm trying to meditate, I just say to myself, I forgive that thought. I forgive that thought. It's like, I see you. Okay. I forgive you. Bye. Like, let it come in and out. Let it flow. You don't want to block flow, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you get up and you have this intention of, I'm going to kind of sit here, not be involved with anything except the ground I'm sitting on and my own personal self, and just honor that with that intention, you will see a difference in your day. And when you start vibrating on a different level, you will start attracting other things that are vibrating on that same level. You will attract animals, insects. I have had some really tripped out experiences where I've been meditating in nature and I open my eyes and I've had wasps sitting on my arms. I've had animals come to me, birds, because all of a sudden you're emanating this energy that these things can resonate with. And you're like, wow, this is a real thing. Like, I'm really connecting to these things. And there is a point where it tips over and it is permeating your mind. And it starts to tell you, like when I go out on a hike or I go on a walk, I will see something and my brain will be like, oh, what is that? Or go over there. And a lot of people just ignore that. Like, they're like, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And I made a pact with myself, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago, that every single time my brain says, what is that? Go over there. I go over there. And what ends up happening is when I get over there, I see something and I'm like, wow. And then I look up and then there's another thing and another thing. And because your spirit will start to like show your brain the way instead of it being the other way around, mm-hmm. which is a way different existence than I had ever experienced before. The only other time in my life that I felt this way was when I was a really small child and I would go out in the desert and I would feel rocks vibrating in my hands and I would feel really connected to the earth and to animals. And I honestly just always thought that that was just something like kids felt or mm-hmm. kids imagined, or, but it's not. It's something that's inside of all of us all of the time. And maintaining the innocence and the openness of a child is something you have to consciously choose to do and work at. It's right. not something that you just are, because mm-hmm. obviously you live many lives, you've lived through many experiences, and it's making all these impressions on your mind and on your behavior. And so you have to wake up and say, today, this is what I say. And you can talk straight to your spirit and you can talk straight to the universe. Literally, it hears you. So I say, please allow my spirit to be stronger than my brain today. And I just ask for that. And it's mm-hmm. like, again, going back to the Bible, they say a million times, ask and ye shall receive. Like, that's no joke. Your voice is a very, very strong conduit for anything that you want. You're manifesting things through vibrations. Vibrations never, ever die. So the one last thing I would recommend for people who maybe are starting to meditate,
okay.
they go sit quietly, whether inside or outside, is it does help to have a candle lit.
Okay.
Because fire is not from here. It is not from the earth. It is a divine thing. Like, nobody can explain the chemical makeup of fire. They can tell you that it's hot and that it burns and this, but nobody can tell you what it is, because honestly, nobody really understands or knows, right? So if you light a candle, it is divine immediately. This is how, this is kind of like a direct line to the divine. When you light this little flame, it shoots up and the divine sees that and comes right to it because you're speaking its language right there. And that's why forever and ever and ever and ever, people have lit candles to pray.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't even think about it. You just do it, right? Nobody thinks about it. But if you have this candle, it's going to attract that otherworldly, divine kind of like, you know, all pervading energy will come right to where you are.
Okay.
And it kind of opens up a line of communication. So if you meditate and you light a candle, it will make it stronger.
Okay.
And if you really want to find a group to meditate with, like I said, I can share the information of my center. Like obviously right now they're doing everything online.
Right.
But Just ask the universe. That's how I found all of the shamans I've ever met, all of the centers for meditation, everything I've ever met. I have asked for it and it has come to me. So just say it out loud and it will come to you. But like I said, you have to be open. So when the answer comes, you see it. It's really important.
Right. So sometimes you miss it. You miss the message and
totally
you're like, what?
Yeah, and that goes back to that thing. Like, if your brain is telling you, go over there, look, follow it. Like, follow your inner voice. Like, your inner voice, like, you know what you know, and you're right. You are right. Trust me. The self-doubt thing, it's kind of these level, like, you level up. When you first meditate, you go for thoughtless awareness, which is that thing I was saying where you sit, and there's all this stuff going on, and you can hear it, but you don't react. Mm-hmm. And then the next level is doubtless awareness. It's when you're faced with something and you don't even have to go, huh, what should I do? You know immediately what to do and you just do it. You don't even think twice because now you know that you are this instrument of truth and everything you do is going to be the correct thing to do and you don't even need to think about it. And, you know, some days I wake up and I am that person, but I am still working on that. And I think that's pretty normal. But it does feel good to start to understand, like, I am a being of light and I am not even doing this. I am merely an instrument and everything inside me is just a replica of the entire universe. But I have this ability to connect with that. And I can say I'm willing to become this instrument, to manifest this energy and allow it to work through me. And that's a really big thing, is to say, I surrender. And that's something we say at my center all the time is, I surrender to you. You do everything. I do nothing. Because then you're activating it and saying, like, I am aware, like, I'm not doing any of this. Like, there is something way bigger than anything I could ever understand going on here. And I'm super cool with it. And I just want to be in accordance with that and allow it to flow through me. Because it's actually so much easier to live that way than to think my brain knows everything and I'm going to figure all this out. It's like, good luck with that.
And in Christianity, they do the same thing. They ask God to guide them and they're not in control. God's in control. So it's similar in that sort of way, you know? So
almost like, and like for another time, like when I started studying theosophy, it is that way. Like every religion is rooted in the same. It's the same. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it bums me out that it's gotten so divided and so divisive and has become so different, because really for the most part, people are very good and they all want the same things and they're all saying the same things. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if everyone could just kind of unite on those subjects instead of figuring out ways to divide from each other. So just to sum up, if you're wanting to meditate, the first thing you have to do is have the desire. That's where the spark comes from. And then you have to have the intention. And then you have to check yourself and say, what am I trying to get from this? is my intention to be pure about this? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to wreck yourself and say, I am not going to allow my physical limitation of my brain to get in the way. And then you literally just have to forgive every single thing that's ever happened, ever. You just have to let it all go and surrender to the higher power and ask it to work through you.
Right.
And that's a great start.
Yes.
Take the time for yourself every day. 5 minutes. This doesn't have to be a difficult thing. And you should be comfortable wherever you do it. You can sit on the floor. You can sit on your bed. You can go outside. You can be inside. You can be in the dark. And like, it's up to you where you feel comfortable, because when you're comfortable, you can allow your body to like melt away. And that's when the energy will be able to come inside of you. If you're at least even a tiny bit uncomfortable, your brain's going to be focused on that little bit of uncomfortableness, and you're not wrecking yourself. You got to wreck it down, like just let it all go. And then you're open for it, right?
You know, it's so funny because you say that, because I tried going outside and meditating, but I have chickens. So I have a bunch of flies in the backyard because of the chicken coop and everything. So I'm like, fly, fly, fly. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pretend they're not here. But then I'm like, okay, forget it. It's just too much. I'm just going to go inside and meditate. And that's comfortable. I have no flies, no one bugging me. And then once I get better, then I could be outside and, you know, not mind it or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, the most important thing is just to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. There's no like wrong way. You know, once you get into a center, there's certain protocols, there's certain reverences that have to be, but when you're at home, mm-hmm. be comfortable, light the candle and just say, you know, and what they always say, we call it mother, because your Kundalini, your energy that is in you, it is feminine. It's a feminine healing, nurturing energy. So we say, mother, please allow my spirit to be stronger than my mind today. And then just sit there. And if your mind's racing, just take deep breaths in. And sometimes it helps if you take in a really deep breath and you hold your hands upon your heart, because this is where your spirit is. It's in mm-hmm. your heart. And you just hold your hands over it and you hold your breath a little bit until you feel your heart beating under your hand, and then slowly let it come out. If you're having a hard time just calming down, because I know a lot of times when I first started, I would get so worked up that I would just have a hard time calming myself down, mm-hmm. even to get to a state of being able to sit quietly and calmly. And all the only other thing I can say is, I hear people say all the time, oh, I can't meditate, I can't sit still. Yeah, you can. You can. Because, you know, you can do all kinds of things. I see people do all kinds of crazy things that are way harder and way more illogical and way more against the natural flow of the universe. So if you can do all those crazy things, I'm sure you can sit and just breathe for 5 minutes, because that is how you start connecting to something bigger. And that's how it's going to change, is deciding you want to do it and actually making the time for it is a very, very strong symbol to send out to be responded to.
And for me, it's just so empowering and just so wonderful. It's just changed my life. It really has, because it's just like grounded me, and not, I don't freak out as much. And, you know, like there's all these goals that you want to do and you want to do them, but it just calms me, because I'm like, okay, in due time, whatever happens will happen, and I'm okay with it, you know? And
yeah.
It's all good.
Well, and just to speak on that, something, I have a mentor at my center, her name's Rose, and she's just the cutest, most beautiful, glowing person. And she really has changed my life by taking me and helping me. And if she heard me say that, she'd go, oh no, it's not me, it's mother. Mother is the one. She's just working through me, of course, right?
Right.
But she said this thing to me once. She said, do you ever shop online? And I said, well, sure. Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, when you go on there, you go on and you find what you want, and you tell it like, this is the size, this is the color, and you add it to your cart, and you go to the cart and you enter in all your credit card and your shipping address and this, and you hit go. And I go, yeah. And she goes, well, that's everything. She goes, you decide what it is that you want. You put in all the information that has to come from you and you say, go. And then you sit back and you know the package is going to come. You don't know what mm-hmm. it's going to look like when it comes to you. Mm-hmm. You don't know the package it'll be in. You don't know exactly what time it's going to show up on your door. But when you hit go, you know it's going to come, and that's it. So everything in life is like shopping online. You pick it, you put in the right information, you hit go, and then you just know it's coming. And you don't know exactly when it's going to come or what it's going to look, but you know it's going to come, and that's it. Yeah. You don't need to think about it anymore.
I love that analogy. Good going, Rose.
I know. And I'm like, that's so perfect. And just one more analogy okay. that I found very, very helpful is that, you know, a lot of us think that it makes us stronger if we endure things we don't like, or if we can make it through this, you know, I'm just going to put up with this for this amount of time and I'll be better off on the other side. Absolutely incorrect. That is not right. Because every time that you are allowing something that doesn't work for you to exist in your life, you're just asking for more of that. And mm-hmm. the way that we think about it, it's like a playlist online, like Pandora in a way. Uh-huh. And I know Pandora is like old now, but it's kind of like that. It's like, if it's giving you songs and you're just like, well, this song's okay. No, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. You keep saying no. And then it actually knows what to send you, right? It's exactly, the universe works exactly like this. If you are just settling for mediocrity or settling for something that you might like or you can handle getting through, you're going to get more of that. You need to say no to the things that don't work for you and yes to the things that do work for you. Mm-hmm. Because the universe is looking to you to set the pattern, to set the tone. Like, you have to communicate these things or it doesn't know. It will not know, you know? And it's kind of true if you think about it, even with relationships with people and everything else. If you don't communicate what is working for you, and there's a very simple way of knowing, it's again, the feeling inside of you. Mm-hmm. If you are feeling like something is wrong, speak and say, this doesn't work for me. It's okay.
Right.
Because you want to get more things that work and less things that don't work. And that's how you start balancing and feeling like, you know, more in charge, which mm-hmm. again, alleviates that anxiety, alleviates these weird feelings, right? Because honestly, when people are like, go with the flow, great, go with the flow, but make up what the flow is. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to make your own flow. Nobody's going to do that for you. And I don't know about you, but I would rather go with my own flow than other people's flow that doesn't quite work for me.
Tara, thank you so much for joining us and just teaching us about meditation and going through the chakras and just opening up our crown. Is that what it's called?
This very top one. Yeah, you can call it the crown chakra. Yes. It has a fancy name, but we'll just call it the crown. That's easier.
And lighting a candle. I didn't know that, but it's totally true because all my friends who I know that are spiritual always light candles. I'm like, okay, great. You're right. So I so appreciate you. And I'm so thankful that you came to join us and share with us your knowledge of meditation. If you have any links, I will just put it in the notes, the show notes for the podcast.
Sure, I'll send those over to you.
And is there anything else that you would like to, you know, I would love to have you again and we can talk about other things that you're knowledgeable in. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I would love to come back and I am just very grateful that we're friends and I'm appreciative that you would even include me and I can get really off on some crazy tangents sometimes. So this is really helping me become more disciplined on It's helping me be a better person too. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
My communication skills.
You know, like Tara and I did a first run through and we went through like three or four different topics and it just went on and on. And it was so hard for me to edit. So I'm like, Tara, can we do this over again? And she was just so gracious to do this again. So we'll do it in separate topics and we'll be good with that.
That was so much better. And it's probably, it probably is better for me as well, because I'm sure it's just way too much. Like literally everything is connected. And that's where the problem in lies. It's like, where does this stop and the other parts of my practice start? And so if I'm given an actual subject that I can just do one at a time, much easier to digest, I think.
All right, Tara, thank you so much and you take care.
Thank you.
We'll have the stuff in the notes. So thank you for joining us. Have a great one. Bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Couch to Fire. I hope this podcast sparks something in you to take action to live your best life. If you're interested in joining me in this podcast and have something inspiring to share, please contact me. Couch to Fire. Live your best life.